Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Tuesday, the 23rd day of October 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. The family and friends of a missing Sitka woman urge anyone with information to come forward as local authorities continued their search yesterday. 33-year-old Lael Grant was last seen by her family last Sunday, October 14th. This past Saturday, the 20th, police found her car abandoned near the city shooting range at the end of the Nelson Logging Road. The bottom line, says family friend Vanessa Roberts, is to know that Grant is safe.
We just want to know where she's at and that she's okay. We don't want to know what she's doing or what whoever was with her is doing. We just want to hear her voice.
Sitka Mountain Rescue and Sitka Police searched the area near the shooting range with ground teams and search dogs over the weekend. The search continued yesterday. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says police are also following up on information and interviewing people who might have had contact with Grant. Roberts, the family friend, says Grant has two young boys at home. She urged anyone with information to make it known.
Please come forward with something. I mean, even if you have to call and don't give your name, just or tell her. If you know where she's at and you see her, tell her to please call us or call somebody just so that we know that she's okay.
Anyone with information on Lael Grant's disappearance or whereabouts is asked to call Sitka Police at 747-3245. That number, along with others to reach the family, are available on our website, kcaw.org. Nearly half of adult women in Sitka have experienced sexual violence, intimate partner violence, or both in their lifetime. This, according to a 2012 survey that questioned about 300 women in the city. The Alaska Victimization Survey is the first comprehensive study of its kind to be conducted in Alaska. The state has one of the highest domestic abuse rates in the nation. Surveys were conducted over the phone and were made up of about 200 questions. Dr. Andre Rosé, the principal investigator for the survey, says that although the study has its limitations, it provides a more accurate representation of what's happening.
Many communities throughout Alaska have always experienced high rates of domestic violence and sexual assault, but that story has often been very difficult to tell. In the past, too often we've relied on law enforcement numbers, and these numbers only capture the offenses that were reported to police.
Rosé says domestic abuse is one of the most underreported crimes, so relying on law enforcement numbers isn't effective in understanding the extent of violence against women. But even though researchers say the survey paints a more accurate picture, it might not be a complete one. For example, surveyors didn't talk to non-English speakers or women without phones or residences where they could be reached. The questions are personal and explicit, focusing on what ways women had been victimized. During the interview, surveyors looked for signs of distress, a change in tone or speed in answering questions, and periodically asked responders if they needed to stop the survey. In 5 years, the survey will be conducted again. Rosé says it's to establish if the numbers have changed and will help in guiding future policies and practices. Gretchen Clark, a prevention consultant for Sitkins Against Family Violence, says that even if violence against women has decreased, it might not be reflected in the numbers.
We know this is happening at greater levels. And so as an issue that has been silent for so long, as people start to talk about it, you often will see an increase in numbers, not because it's happening more, but because more people feel more comfortable in being able to seek help and to talk about it.
The Alaska Victimization Survey was funded by the Alaska Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Data was analyzed by the University of Alaska Anchorage Justice Center. We've posted a link to the results on our website, kcaw.org. The Assembly will decide tonight whether to begin construction on the Blue Lake Dam expansion. With some cost reductions, construction should now be about $88 million. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, that's less than the city initially awarded, but still a challenging number.
In September, the Assembly approved a nearly $93 million contract with Montana-based Barnard Construction. But the final step before shovels hit the ground is called a notice to proceed. That's what's on the agenda tonight. Giving the green light to Blue Lake will likely involve some conversation about money. The project's cost grew by about $40 million when the city opened contract bids in August. The Assembly must now either count on an extra appropriation from the state or bond for the remaining costs. At its last meeting, it authorized city staff to ask bonding authorities for up to $80 million in additional bonds. It won't know if extra money is coming from the state until the next legislative session. Sitka already has millions of dollars invested in the Blue Lake project. Raising the dam would allow the city to produce more hydropower. In recent years, demand for electricity has grown, and the city has depended on diesel generators for the power beyond what Sitka's two hydro projects can produce. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Assembly's agenda tonight will also cover sewer rates, dogs, and sales tax holidays. In recent years, the city has suspended its sales tax for the 2 days after Thanksgiving. It's an effort to encourage local spending during a traditionally busy shopping day. One proposal tonight would keep the sales tax holidays on those 2 days. Another would put one at the end of this week and one the day after Thanksgiving. On the dog ordinance, the Assembly is considering making it illegal for dogs to be on the newly rebuilt Moeller baseball field and the Kim Sham ballpark complex. Owners in violation could be fined $300. Service dogs are exempt from the proposed ordinance. And finally, sewer rates. The Assembly could vote to increase the base rate for sewer service to more than $42. Right now, it's around $39. Customers with metered water would pay an additional $2 for every 1,000 metered gallons. The Assembly will hear about the sewer master plan during a work session beginning tonight at 5 p.m. Raven Radio will cover the regular meeting live on the air at 6 p.m. A well-traveled 46-foot vessel quietly tied up this fall in Petersburg Harbor. Like the fishing boats around it, the Polar Bound will be covered in tarps to prepare for the coming winter snows and await more adventures next spring. The vessel and its two occupants, David Scott Cowper and Jane Moff of the United Kingdom, have just finished a voyage through the Arctic's Northwest Passage. The two motored from northern England across the Atlantic, around the southern and western coasts of Greenland, and across the top of the North American continent through the McClure Strait. The Canadian Coast Guard says that until this past year, only 5 vessels have motored through that normally frozen waterway, all of them icebreakers. But the Polar Bound appears to be the first private pleasure craft to have motored through that strait. For the 70-year-old Cowper, it's his 5th voyage through the Northwest Passage. He's also made multiple sailing and motor vessel trips solo around the globe. This trip marks the first time Cowper has taken a passenger along. Mouth has family connections to Sir John Franklin, the famed British explorer lost in the late 1840s while leading an expedition searching for a sailing route through the Northwest Passage ice. Joe Vicnicki spoke with Cowper and Moff about their journey as they ate an afternoon meal in the galley of the Polar Bound.
It's the most northerly route, and even when they were trying to test, say, oil carriers for the North Slope, and they did a thing with the Manhattan, and she was very specially strengthened at great cost, and I think there were something like 3 icebreakers or 4 icebreakers in attendance, and they couldn't take her through the McClure Strait. She had to go through the Prince of Wales Strait. So with global warming, now that you can get a small boat like Polar Bound going through, so it just shows you over the course of the last 35 years how the effect has been in the Arctic to considerably melting the ice and the retraction of ice, which is now very serious.
Because your first trip was 35 years ago?
Yes, it was back in the early 80s, and it took me 4 years to get through the Northwest Passage. And 3 of those years I was iced in at a place called Fort Ross at the east end of Bellot Strait. And then when I got out of there, I had to go up the Mackenzie River to Inuvik to repair the boat. And then it took another year still to get out, to get around Point Barrow. And you might remember, I think it was about 88 or 89, that 3 whales got trapped in Point Barrow. And the icebreakers in attendance there to free them. So that just shows you that short period of time that where you had the ice right up to Point Barrow to now where it's open water for 50 or 60 miles.
And what's that like? You've seen the change. What are the most noticeable differences?
Dramatic. Yeah. It's as simple as that. The biggest difference, of course, is that there's far less ice now. You no longer really see the heavy polar pack ice, which could have been 15 feet in thickness. Now it's just like gin and tonic ice, where it's 3 feet that in thickness that it'll grow to during the winter.
Jane, I want to get you in on this interview too. This is, you were invited along on this trip, and this is the first time David has taken someone along with
him. David has never had any passenger before. I'm not really quite sure whether I've come along in the role of a crew or whether I'm a passenger. But sometimes I think I'm actually being brought along as cook and bottle washer.
What was it like? What was the trip like?
Well, it was, the boat rolls like anything because she's got very little draft. And so we had quite a number of gales. And I'm reading David's log surreptitiously when he's not looking. I see that he's recorded winds 4, 6, 7, 8 a few times. Privately, I actually thought it was the bottom end of 9, but he's had far more experience than me, so I think I have to believe him, probably.
Well, you've done, there's so many trips without anybody, but this one with Jane.
Yeah, let me put it this way. I'm surviving this one much better than the other ones there when I didn't have to cook for myself. So I think that this is a better combination.
70-year-old David Scott Cowper aboard the 46-foot pleasure craft Polar Bound, tied up in Petersburg. Cowper plans to leave the boat in Petersburg for the winter before heading north next May for another voyage. The State Board of Education is scheduled next week to consider requests from 23 school districts seeking waivers from a requirement they budget at least 70% of their operating expenses for instruction. Education Commissioner Michael Hanley recommends the requests be approved. The law requires that school districts budget for and spend at least 70% of their operating expenses each year, each fiscal year, on instruction. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It is 1 minute past the hour. Good morning.